I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 15. We continue on with the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the prodigal God, the parable of the compassionate father and the two sons. So I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, verse 11, and then verses 25 to 32. So 1 and 2, down to 11, and then 25 to 32. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Verse 11. And he said, Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons." Then verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." So this morning, I want us to think together about the older brother. We talked about the younger brother last week, and this week we want to look at the older brother. But again, let me remind you of why Jesus told this parable. Jesus is specifically addressing the scribes and Pharisees who are grumbling about his receiving and even eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus tells the scribes and Pharisees the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons because he wants to teach them about what God is really like and why he is ministering to these tax collectors and sinners. He wants the scribes and Pharisees to understand that God seeks sinners to bring them to repentance. God fully accepts and forgives sinners who come to him in repentance and rejoices over sinners who come to him in repentance. And because God desires to bring sinners to himself, because God receives sinners, so Jesus is ministering to sinners and calling them to be reconciled, to be brought back to God. I think we always need to remember Romans 5:8 and Romans 5:10. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. That was not the God of the Pharisees, but that was the true God. And Jesus wanted to communicate that compassionate God to the scribes and Pharisees. In love, God came seeking us while we were still enemies and sinners and brought us to himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the younger brother, Jesus was describing the tax collectors and sinners who wasted God's gifts on their own desires, wandering far away from God in the far country. One day, the younger son came to himself. He saw how he had sinned against God and his father, admitted it, and returned in repentance to his father and confessed his sin. And the younger son was fully restored to the family and given a status that he had never earned and no longer deserved. That younger son experienced what we call as Christians the grace of God. And that's the most wonderful thing I can think of, the grace of God, an extension of the love of God, the wonderful grace of God. The younger son no longer had anything to offer to his father and came in repentance to his father, willing to serve his father as a day laborer. But in love, the father restored both his dignity and his status as a son. We noticed last week the compassion of the father reflected in his response to the son. We noticed his compassion as his son took the property and left home. His compassion to his son as he wasted his life, his property in the far country. And then we noticed the compassion of the father as the son returned home. This morning we'll continue to see the great compassion of the father as we look at him in response to now the older son. We'll also notice through the older son the motive and the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees as illustrated in the older brother. You probably know by now that Jesus is the master storyteller. And I particularly saw his mastery of storytelling as he introduces the two sons in this parable. The younger son he illustrates as coming to the father and asking for his property and soon leaving home and going into the far country to waste the property and to waste his life. But it particularly caught me how Jesus introduces for the first time to us this older brother. He introduces to us the older brother as working in the field on the family farm. Working in the field on the family farm. That's the first glimpse we have of this older brother. You'll see in a moment that work is what the oldest son, which illustrates the scribes and Pharisees, is all about. It's all about work. It's all about work and reward. For the younger son, the problem was wasting his life in a far country. For the older son, the problem is working to get acceptance from his father. Both the waste of the younger son and the work of the older brother do not lead to a relationship with the father. Both are prodigals in need of repentance. The younger son, a prodigal who wastes his life. The older son, a prodigal who seeks the father's acceptance through work, work, work. The younger son realized the error of his wasted life and was restored to a relationship with the father. Will the older son come to understand that through working for his father's acceptance, he is also in need of repentance? Actually, we don't know. God leaves the story unresolved at the end. We don't know if the son, the older son, actually comes back into the house or just stays away. Maybe he moves away. We don't know. Let's look at the parable. As the older son drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants over and asked him what this meant. And he found out that this was a celebration put on by his father for the safe return of his younger son. I want you to notice how Jesus told this parable and had the servant say to the older brother, "Your brother has come." We're going to see that Jesus wants to show the Pharisees and the scribes that the tax collectors and sinners are of the same family, the same group. They have the same need. Your brother has come. for the scribes and Pharisees to think of an unrighteous tax collector or sinner as a brother would be outrageous. And Jesus is trying to help the scribes and Pharisees to see both the loving heart of God for sinners and how having the heart of God for sinners will change their heart toward sinners. These tax collectors, these sinners, scribes and Pharisees, they're your brothers. It can never happen. It will never be. But that's what Jesus is telling them. The older brother is angry when he finds this out and refuses to join the party. So the father comes out to speak to him, to ask him to come and join them in the house. Here again we see the compassion of God illustrated in the father coming to meet the angry older brother. As the father ran to meet the returning younger brother, so the father is willing to go out to the older brother and seek to change his anger into compassion for his younger brother. God is seeking the older brother, seeking the scribes and Pharisees that he might bring them back to himself. I want you to pay special attention to the older brother's complaint, because in the complaint that he gives, he reveals his motive, his heart, and his attitude. And of course, through the story, Jesus is revealing the heart and the motive and the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees and wants to expose that in this parable. The older brother begins his answer to the father with the word, look. The older brother is going to set the father straight about how he should deal with this younger brother, not in compassion, but in the attitude that he has of work and reward. Remember why that Jesus is telling this parable and who he's telling it to. The scribes and Pharisees did not know God as a compassionate and forgiving God. Through the words of the older brother, Jesus is showing the scribes and Pharisees their misunderstanding of how God accepts people. They are the ones that are to change their thinking, not Jesus, not God. They are the ones who are to change their thinking. The older brother says to the father, "These many years I am slaving for you." The word there is doulos, the word for slave. I have been slaving for you for years in the fields. He goes on and says, I never disobeyed your command. I have done everything you have ever asked me to do. Sounds like something the Pharisees would say. The older son is working for his father as a slave, not as a son. He is earning a relationship with his father, at least trying to. He sees his relationship with his father according to what he deserves, as the reward he merits for his work. Love and grace have no part in this relationship. The older son blames his father for not rewarding his hard and unrelenting work. You never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. The older son recognizes that he has no relationship with the father, but he blames the father for this, when in reality it's the older son who does not know and recognize the father's love for him. The father and the son are operating from opposing values. The son is operating on the value of work and reward. The father is operating on the values of love and grace. The older son rightly recognizes that his father is not responding to the younger son on the basis of work and reward, but in love and grace and forgiveness. Although the younger brother has wasted his life, yet the father is showing him great compassion. So the older brother is angry. The older brother is angry at his father for celebrating the return of his brother and showing such compassion. I read one of the commentaries on this verse that there was a parable that the rabbis taught that a son who is redeemed from a wasted life comes home not to be restored to the family, but to serve as a slave in order to learn obedience. That was the attitude. Well, you can come back, but you need to work. You need to prove your worth. You need to earn your way back into the family. You need to prove that you're trustworthy. And then maybe we'll reinstate you. That was the older brother's attitude. He wanted the father to not celebrate the restoration of his son to the family. But the younger brother should prove his worth through hard work and earn his way back into the family. There was no room for a God of love and grace in the understanding of the scribes and Pharisees. They are not in the far country, but far off in their understanding of the character of God. The older brother was angry at his brother for returning home. The older brother would have much preferred that his younger brother never, ever show up again on the farm. As far as he was concerned, he would be glad if he had never heard of him again. He wanted everything to stay as it was on the farm and never to have his brother back. Now he would have to live with him each day, live with this wasteful, rebellious, irresponsible, prodigal brother. Notice how this older son addresses his brother when he's speaking with the father. He doesn't say, my brother. He says, this son of yours has come back. He will not say, this is my brother. This son of yours. He disowns his brother. In the process, he even disowns his own father for receiving back this son into the family. The scribes and Pharisees had made God into their image. They had too disowned the God of the Bible. Their God joyfully destroyed tax collectors and sinners and had no place for them in his plans, but to be destroyed. I also think this older brother is angry at himself because he does not know the experience of the father's acceptance, even though he's working so hard for it. And yet the father is lavishing love on his prodigal brother. As I wrote this, I was thinking of Martin Luther, how he so tried to find acceptance with God, spent more time in the confessional than any other of the brothers in that monastery, seeking to be loved by God by somehow reaching a standard of righteousness that would be acceptable to God. And yet he was miserable. He was angry because God would not accept him, even angry at God for that, till he recognized that he was accepted by grace, not by works. As the parable closes, we once again see the compassion of God in the father of these two prodigal sons, the waster and the worker. The father calls the older brother son. He goes out and he says, son. This older brother who has just rebuked his father for his love and compassion for his younger brother, who he has just accused and for disregarding him, who has disowned both his brother as well as his father for receiving back this younger brother, and yet the father addresses him as son. The father compassionately assures his son of his love. You are always with me, he says. This father desires to draw near to his son in love and desires his son to draw near to him in love. And then the father compassionately assures the son that all that is mine is yours. With compassion, the father is telling his older son that all things are his because he is his son, not because he's worked for it and earned it and deserves it. And finally, the father seeks to reconcile both brothers by reminding the older brother that he has a younger brother and that his brother has returned to the family. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This brother of yours. The scribes and Pharisees would again see that Jesus is telling them that the tax collectors and the sinners and the scribes and Pharisees are all in one group, brothers before God. Well, I think it's easy for us to relate to and to have pity for the older brother. He is like us, hardworking, responsible, obedient to his father, not asking for much. When he comes home from a hard day of work in the fields, he finds a party going on for his brother who has just wasted one-third of the family fortune on his own pleasures. The older brother feels like he's not appreciated or loved by the father for all his hard work, and yet the wasteful son is enjoying a party. It's just not fair. The waster is getting what he does not deserve, and the worker is not getting what he does deserve. And I think we can relate to this older brother. It's easy for us to judge people by a work and reward standard, for that is what the world has taught us, and that is how we naturally think. That's not the way of God. The way of God is the way of grace. It's easy for us to misunderstand our relationship with God as a process of work and reward. We can easily fall into the trap of thinking that we have to earn the love of God by our good behavior, enthusiastic service, generous giving, regular devotions, faithful attendance, full obedience to the commandments, and forget that God's love is a gift of His grace. The love of God cannot be earned. We are to receive the love of God to us in Jesus Christ and then love God and serve Him out of gratitude and joy. When we begin to think we can earn God's love and deserve God's love, we start to become like the older brother. We begin to despise those who are not working as hard as we are. We begin to resent those who are receiving God's grace and who have not earned it like we have. We disown. We distance ourselves from love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. It's dangerous to operate on the principle of work and reward when it comes to a relationship with God. The scribes and Pharisees believed they had a relationship with God as a reward for works of righteousness. Jesus wanted the scribes and Pharisees to understand that a relationship with God was based on love, mercy, grace, and God's forgiveness for repentance. The scribes and Pharisees looked beautiful on the outside, but didn't have an understanding of God and didn't know the heart of God. They were as self-focused as the tax collectors and sinners, only they were self-focused on their own righteousness. They claimed to know God, but were enemies of God, because they did not realize that they were sinners before God, just like the tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was telling them that they were really no different. And they all, the tax collectors and the sinners, the scribes and the Pharisees, all needed to come in repentance before God and receive the love of God in that way. For me, the key to knowing the love and grace of God and coming into a true relationship with God is knowing that you are a sinner before a holy God. The Pharisees and scribes would never have admitted that. And in not admitting that, they failed to come into a relationship with God. This holy God who will judge all sin is also willing to forgive and accept you in Jesus Christ, who paid the punishment for your sins. The younger son recognized his sin and came to love his father, but the older son did not and despised both God and his brother. Those who have received grace and love express grace and love. The scribes and Pharisees did not need the grace and love of God in their self-righteous lives and did not know the grace and love of God. As a result, they did not love God. They did not love sinners as Jesus did. I want to read again to you the parable that John read earlier in the service. I think it puts in good contrast the Pharisee and the tax collector and their two responses to God. Let me read that paragraph again to you. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. God is compassionate to repentant sinners. And it is repentant sinners who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to come to your Heavenly Father today as a sinner, for you will never be accepted by God if you come in your own righteousness. Not only if you don't know Christ must you come as a sinner, but even often as Christians, we need to come in repentance to God and confess our sin to know over and over again the love and the mercy and the grace of God upon our lives.